Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for entrepreneurs and coaches who want to increase profits and make a positive impact. With your host, internationally renowned business coach, profit expert, and number one best-selling author, J.V. Crum III.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for purpose-driven entrepreneurs and executives who want to create wealth and impact humanity. Now in our 10th season, the Conscious Million Network has over 4,000 episodes that's been heard by 100 million listeners. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III. Thank you for tuning in to the Conscious Millionaire Show. Hi, this is JV, and I'm so excited you joined me because you know this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training specifically for you. And if you're new to the show, thank you so much for checking out Conscious Millionaire. If you're a longtime listener, thank you for listening to this specific episode. Either way, you can subscribe absolutely free by going to ConsciousMillionaireShow.com. Now help me welcome our featured guest. With over 20 years in life sciences, he's a global innovative leader and senior director at Atara Biotherapeutics. He drives regulatory strategy, digital transformation, and cross-functional collaboration while sharing insights through writing, podcasts, and speaking engagements. You can hear him on the two podcasts, Peace of Chaos and Humanity Working. My guest today, the one and only Matt Neal. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you, JV. Great to see you.
Well, you're in California, and you know of Esalen because I've lived at Esalen, so that's always a good thing. Have you been to Esalen?
I have not. It's on the list. My work with maps has given me a lot of insight into Esalen, and it's something I really want to do at some point.
Yeah. So I went to the psychedelic conference here in June in Denver.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, all 5 days. It was literally so amazing. And it was even more amazing. It was only a few blocks from my condo. So it was a pretty easy thing for me to go to.
Nice.
11,500 people used every square foot of over 600,000 square feet of the Denver Center. I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah.
And the people who were there, primarily I met from all over the world, doctors, psychiatrists, therapists. But it was interesting because, you know, it was all about plant medicine, all these different things. Nobody was there because they were looking for a high or anything like that. Mm. Everybody was there because they wanted to evolve, and they wanted to help their patients and clients evolve to higher levels. That was the whole focus. So it was just refreshing.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, it's been quite a journey at the psychedelic science in 2017. I think something like it was 3,000 to 6,000, and over time it just really grew. And it's a proper educational exchange information conference. It is not.
Oh yes, you know, absolutely.
The parking lot at a fish show.
No, these were very high level presentations. You were getting to screen movies, and then they had this few rooms. I can't even imagine how 10,000 square feet, 20. Hmm. Oh, it was probably 20,000 square feet, where they had all these different exploratorium type things. So I could lay in different things and have different glasses, and I did everything. You know, once I discovered that room the first day, I went, okay, now I know where I'm going to live. It was very cool. So leveraging a beginner's mind for entrepreneurs. I mean, you're involved in so many things. You're in technology. You're in life sciences. You're a comedian. You're a musician. Before we get to beginner's mind, and maybe this is the way to get to beginner's mind. How does beginner's mind bring all that together? And I know beginner's mind from having lived at a Buddhist monastery. And of course, there's the book, Beginner's Mind.
Yeah. Well, for me, when I think about it, it's really examining every situation that I put myself in or find myself in with the idea that it could be different if we didn't have it established ways to do things. So when I look at a situation or an organization or a process, I just try, well, what's the best way to do it, and how can we approach the world thinking like, well, just because we've always done it this way doesn't really mean we should continue doing it this way. you know, and clearing out the clutter to just examine it as if I had no idea how it worked in the beginning or what it was about. So I sort of come to beginner's mind thinking of it like, I'm going to pretend I don't already know how this works and just really kind of figure out if this is the best way to do it and try to clear myself of preconceived notions. If I can, any sort of internal bias that I might have. And if I do have it, I try to figure out why I have that, you know, like if it's out of a comfort zone or something like that. And it's been really useful applying that to not only technology, but the technology that's either assisting or part of some of the organizations that I work with. So I came to MAPS purely from an operational perspective because I knew that I was an expert in what they needed to do to move through the regulatory process at the FDA to get MDMA approved, MDMA assisted psychotherapy approved as a medicine. I knew that I was, I always say, like, I knew when I was listening to them talk about it, listening to Rick Doblin talk about it in 2012, that I may at the time have been the only person listening to a podcast that was down with the idea of psychedelics in this space,
right,
and had dealt with the FDA doing exactly what he said they were going to need to do in the near future. And it turns out it was, you know, almost 10 years ago. And that sort of idea that, well, why wouldn't I reach out to him? Why wouldn't I approach it? What would I do otherwise? What would I do if it was easier, where there were no hurdles? I would probably just tell him, hey, I can help you. Let me help you. And that's what ended up happening. And that experience was very life-changing,
right,
to kind of go through, not only to be involved in such incredible work, but, you know, over time, the work that the questions that would come up or the situations that would come up, you would just kind of see these synchronicities lining up and you're like, oh man, this is what the world feels like when it clicks together. This is when you know you're doing the right thing. And it's only because you're open to it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when everything is working as it should, when you're really clicking, when you're following that.
Well, you know, much of the work, I bring together mindset strategies and execution. I bring the internal and the external world together, but I have come to a very clear understanding that most of success, entrepreneurial, any kind of success, I mean, right now I'm working out 6 days a week, so that's another kind of success. I'm doing a keto diet, that's another kind of success. All starts internal. Yeah. And it starts with shifting the mind. So I've created all these formulas for unlocking higher levels of the mind into a higher state of performance and getting beyond beliefs. So I'm curious from your perspective for yourself and for other entrepreneurs, when you enter from a beginner's mind, the biggest hindrance you have is the belief structure inside your mind, right? And the new book I'm writing, I brought this up to someone I was doing a coaching with a couple hours ago, is the first chapter, I already know the most important. It's nice, I already know the most important sentence. Now, the rest of the book, I think, is really important. But the most important sentence is, none of your beliefs are true. And because the map is not the territory, and beliefs are just maps. How did you get beyond those maps to have a beginner's mind to take a look at anything, but in specifically maps?
I'd like to say that it just took a lot of introspection and work and discovery and reading and thinking, meeting people that had a different perspective, because I really, you know, I sort of brought up on the East Coast, Italian Catholic family, very traditional, all of these sort of built in, baked in stories, even just being on the East Coast, or I should say leaving the East Coast, is a feat in and of itself.
Yes, I did my undergraduate work on the East Coast, and ultimately got a degree in psychology after I did all the pre-med and pre-seminary. And then I went to graduate school in LA. Yeah. Now, what was really interesting is there was about a 30-year gap. Now, I'd never lived anywhere but the East Coast. On the East Coast, where they were was 30 years behind what was being taught on the West Coast. Hmm. So at the time, on the East Coast, it was all behavioral Skinnerian, which frankly didn't make a lot of sense to me because it seemed like it was leaving out something. Oh, it turns out it is. On the West Coast, it was cognitive psychology. So over here, there's an empty box. And over here, you're talking about what's the person saying to themselves, what's going on between the stimulus and the response, and that maybe that's the most important part, determining the response, right? Yeah. So so it was liberating to have that transition. How does that relate to a beginner's mind?
I think because I had to shake off a lot of things.
Yep.
And I was left with, just knocked out a whole bunch of scaffolding that had been built for many, many years. And then you're like, let's look at other things, let's examine the world in a different way. And just moving across the country, you're forced to change your perspective because you're sort of on your own. You're out of your comfort zone, extremely out of your comfort zone. And you just start, just taking stock of things and seeing new perspectives, like, oh yeah, I guess it could be sunny out all the time. That would be better. I would like that. And yeah, the ocean's right there. I can just go sit at it and watch it whenever I want. It doesn't have to be just once a week or once a year, you know?
Right.
So I think a lot of just shifting old habits, old ideas that are sort of locked in time, that opened me up to it, and certainly I did not have a normal sort of regular life after high school. I toured the country in a rock band, so I was already sort of open to new experiences. And so it just seemed like the way to go, to really try to forge your own way forward, because there are really no rules. We've made everything up, as you said in the beginning. Like,
it's all made up. And what I'm listening for is, it sounds like you created. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Was part of this developing the ability to hold multiple realities at once that might be totally contradictory?
100%.
That's what I'm, because I do that. And it doesn't bother me at the least.
Yeah. And I would have to do that a lot unconsciously,
right?
Growing up in such a tight, very rule-based,
right.
Weird,
I grew up
religion.
In that same, we went to church three times a week, and it was very rigid and very conservative. And so I'm kind of thinking part of this beginner's mind, a more recent reference point, is like the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yeah.
But by the way, I watched while I had a concussion, and it took me four nights because it was mind bending on a concussion. It was very difficult to watch that movie on a concussion.
I think I need to watch it again. I did see it once, and I really liked it, because I think about time travel and alternate dimensions a lot. And I thought it was a pretty neat representation of parallel universes
exactly.
Decisions being so impactful, even when they feel minor.
So Matt, before we go to break, yes, folks, this is called putting him on, kind of in a position. What would you tell any entrepreneur listening right now? about how to develop the beginner's mind. I mean, I don't think we need to make a case for it. It's always great to look at something fresh. Mm. But how would you tell an entrepreneur to begin the process of developing that?
Take as many opportunities as you possibly can to zoom out of your own perspective, even if it feels pretend and fake. Just pretend you're not you for a minute. You know, just, you know, go into a meeting, you know, if you're a founder or whatever, go into it and pretend you're not the founder. Pretend you're somebody else and think about it from a different perspective, somebody else's perspective, to clear the clutter of what you come to the every situation with. I read this amazing book by Nicholas Epley. It's called Mindwise. And he talks about how he did a lot of research to realize that and asked people questions over a long period of time. Most people bring to a conversation what they think the other person is thinking, and it impacts the conversation, obviously. But most of the time, regardless of your relationship to that person or how long you've known them, you're probably wrong. So knowing that, it's not worth bringing any preconceived notion to most conversations and just letting it be, right? Because you don't know what the other person is thinking, yet it impacts every word you say and how you read their reactions, et cetera. So I love that one. I think about that one all the time. And the other piece is that most people are not thinking about you ever anyway, and yet you worry about what they're thinking. I think it was in the same book. He talked about this experiment where he had a high school or a college classroom setting, big, you know, open coliseum seating, 250 student classroom. And the experiment was he would take these folks and they had to walk into the classroom in front of the whole classroom late with a very loud, bright shirt on. And he would ask them how they feel before they go in and how they feel after they come out, having to walk into the classroom late and sit in the front. Mm. And then he asked everybody leaving the classroom afterwards, did you notice anybody come into the room? And like some crazy high percentage, like 98% of people didn't even notice the person walked in the room. But the person that had to walk in the room in front of everybody was panic stricken. Like, everybody's going to see me. Everybody's going to know I'm late. And nobody cared. They're everybody's in their own little world. And I think that perspective also is really part of that too, is like the things you're suffering for no reason, thinking about what might happen, and you have no idea, and most people just don't care about you anyway.
On that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Matt Neal. Stay tuned. We've got the 24-hour challenge and, of course, the Conscious Millionaire Future Questions coming up. Big shout out to all entrepreneurs. Now a quick question. Wouldn't you achieve your goals much faster if you stayed on track all day long? Well, of course you would. Everyone would. And to reprogram your mind so you can achieve your goals much faster, get your number one priority, Hypnotic Audio, now. It's my free gift to you today. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/priority audio. That's right. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/priority audio. Welcome back. I'm G.V. Crum III, host of the Conscious Millionaire Show, Future is Now episode. My featured guest today, Matt Neal. And Matt, what's the 24-hour challenge you have for everyone listening?
I would challenge everyone for in the next 24 hours to try, just try to meditate. There's plenty of good apps to do it, to walk you through it. And I would say within the next 24 hours, try to meditate for 10 minutes.
There you go. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a longtime listener, what I always say is that I love you and care about you, and I genuinely want the best for you. And that's why at Conscious Millionaire, we help you create more wealth specifically by making a positive impact on humanity and getting a life that's going to be happy, joyful, and fulfilling for you. I want to thank all of our listeners and friends in Philadelphia and San Francisco. And now it's time for the Conscious Millionaire Future Questions. And Matt, I'm going to start wherever due, because I believe mindset's where it all starts. What's the mindset you've developed to find your best business opportunities?
Well, I think from a standpoint of mindset, I think obviously the beginner's mind piece comes into play every time. But to me, it's this idea of what's the best way to do this? And taking everybody's idea, getting rid of the ego, and just looking at the problem as clearly and without bias as you possibly can bring to the table. And that is not the easiest or most common mindset I see in any of my pursuits, honestly. The agendas of people and the egos of people and fear, really, and politics and business, you know, that creep their way into decision making, is very tough and tough to get over. And I think that's where you can really shine is going in with the thought that you're probably wrong, and you need to be open to ideas, and you need to listen to those ideas. It's been a very interesting ride, and seeing things develop in a way that people can navigate them clearly, mm-hmm. by ignoring their own biases in ways that they never have before.
I would say the essence of what you just said is that you come to the situation open for possibilities, and possibilities that you aren't even entertaining.
Exactly.
Probably why you have podcasts like Piece of Chaos and Humanity Working, because you're looking at perspectives. Most people would go, where's the peace in the chaos? Well, there is peace in the chaos. And I'll just tell you, part of it's just letting go of trying to control the chaos.
Yeah.
Right? And just finding out where the chaos is going. And I call that flow. But, you know, my next question, I'm in my second year of asking this, the limitless mindset question. So if you were going to become a billionaire within 10 years, and of course, it's not the billionaire that matters. It's really the scale I'm talking about. What impact must you make on humanity? What problem are you going to have to solve? And who must you become?
So I thought about this one quite a bit, because it's a really good question. And I think the problem I would like to help solve, and I think I interpreted some of the question in a way that suits my answer, I guess.
Okay. By the way, I've been asking this quite a while, and people all do that.
Right? Yeah. I kind of thought about it like assuming that, okay, I'm going to do this. If I'm going to do this, we need to heal as much trauma in the world as possible. And I think that being a billionaire, mm-hmm. and putting my effort towards doing that, for example, would require, I wonder if it, I feel like it would require becoming a person that is much different than I am to actually get it all done.
Yeah. Interestingly, that's one of the things I work with everyone on, is shifting their identity and their possibility visions so that they can play at a different level.
But I guess what I mean is, from what I can observe of the world's current billionaires, mm-hmm. there's a lot of things I don't want to become.
Well, that's understandable.
Right. So that's where the question gets really dicey for me, because like, man, I don't want to become that. So we have to have a different, I guess that's what you're getting at here, is a conscious billionaires instead of the current crop. Ooh, right. for the most part. So in that way, maybe I don't have to be that different. I just have to have access and capability to do it.
So I would suggest that what you're really saying is you want to be a higher level of who you already are.
That's the goal every day, is to try to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look out 20 years from now, What are the ways that you think tech will have positively impacted and uplifted humanity?
Well, I think we're seeing now just the very beginnings of what AI is going to do to assist humanity. I think it's an incredible counterpart. I am currently in the camp of I don't fear it. I'm embracing it.
I'm 100% in that camp.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's anything we can do to stop that it's here and moving, right? But I'm not on the Terminator side of AI. I'm more on the let's help get rid of doing all of the boring, useless, no value add tasks that we do so that we can live, have more free time to do and pursue what we're good at and where we can lift each other up. So there's a funny cartoon, I think it was in the New Yorker, of an AI with its feet up at its desk in like the form of a robot in an office. And the caption is like, yeah, they're sick of doing this stuff too. Like all these crazy tasks that we get it to do to help us free ourselves up. But I think that is going to be, it's a bigger revolution to me than even the internet itself is what we're going to be able to do with AI, as long as we can ethically bring it to the world.
Yep. I'm completely in the same boat. I'm curious, what's the biggest challenge you're having right now, either in business or reaching your next level of performance?
I think that I underestimate how hard it is to get people to change their behavior, even when it's seems to be obvious. The common sense is not that common, right? So I look at it like, man, this is so much more difficult than I would have thought it would be on a mass scale.
Is there a book you'd like to recommend?
I would. There's a book called Mastering Uncertainty by Matt Watkinson, and it is just a fantastic look at entrepreneurship, really, but it applies to life. I mean, it is literally the serendipity, synchronicity of life is only there if you embrace that it's there and it's going to be happening. And it's just, it's a fantastic read, and love it. Love that.
And
book.
We'll have a link to that on the show notes at consciousmillionaireshow.com. Today's title, just scroll down, it's Leverage a Beginner's Mind for Entrepreneurs. You know, final question, I've asked it over 3,000 times because I think it's the most important question. What's the legacy you want to leave, Matt?
I think I want to leave the world a better place than I found it for my kids and for their kids.
And is there a specific way you want to do that?
I hope that more people are open to the mindset of being adaptable, resilient, and sort of embracing the world as it is, being more present, being conscious. If I can get my kids to do that and have their friends do that and they bring that to their adulthood and everybody they touch, it just ripples out in a way that's exponential if they touch the right people.
Well, I want to thank you for showing up today and let you know that we're here for you. I have your back. I believe in you. And I want you to become wealthy. I want you to become wealthy the new way, the purpose-driven way of making an impact on humanity. And I want you to get a life that's happy and fulfilling for you. I look forward to connecting with you on the next Conscious Millionaire. And Matt, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
It's been a great pleasure. Thanks, JV.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for entrepreneurs and coaches who want to increase profits and make a positive impact. With your host, internationally renowned business coach, profit expert, and number one best-selling author, JV Crum III.
Welcome to Conscious Millionaire, the show for purpose-driven entrepreneurs and executives who want to create wealth and impact humanity. Now in our 10th season, the Conscious Millionaire Network has over 4,000 episodes that's been heard by 100 million listeners. I'm your host, J.V. Crum III. Thank you for tuning in to the Conscious Millionaire Show. Hi, this is JV, and I am so excited you joined me because you know this is more than a podcast and syndicated radio show. It's an entrepreneurial training just for you, and I have an amazing featured guest. Help me welcome her. She is an entrepreneurial force. She's the co-founder, CEO, and chief community architect of Daybreaker, the global morning dance, music, and wellness movement in five continents with a community of almost 500,000 people around the globe. Help me welcome Radha Agarwal. Radha, welcome to the show.
Great to be here, JV.
Well, you know, I'm excited because we're kind of in my two favorite places in the country. I'm in the Denver area. You're in the New York area. Those are my two favorite areas. How did you choose? We talked about this. We didn't talk about how did you choose to live in New York metro area? And what was that decision process?
Yeah, so I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm coming up on my 20-year anniversary here. I lived through 9/11. I was an investment banker out of college, and then I became a young entrepreneur, building my first businesses in New York, investing, you know, sort of collecting my first investment dollars in New York, building my second business in New York, growing that to, you know, nine-figure business in New York. And so, you know, the idea of living anywhere else when this really has been the city of dreams for me. I can't imagine it. And then to launch a dance community in New York City 7 years ago now, and dance in the wildest locations in New York, from the top of the World Trade Center to the Museum of Natural History to just the wildest locations here in New York, nightclubs and so forth. I have such a deep love affair with the city, and I'm so here for the renaissance of it, the coming back of the city post-COVID.
So, you know, I'm curious, how did you choose dance? And then you grew it in 7 years to a $100 million business. Congratulations. Very few people ever have that experience. And we're going to talk about how you used a thriving community as part of that growth hack for yourself. But how did you choose investment banking? Oh, I'll build a dance community around the world. How did that transition occur?
Yeah. So, you know, when we first... I think with anything in life, you have to think about what is at the root of success. And if what I realized in my 20 years of building businesses has been that it really is founded on joy. And to move our way through joy, that dance is such a gateway to joy, that dance is such a beautiful sort of gateway to community and belonging, that you get out of your head, you get into your body, you let music move you, you let collective joy take you on this journey as the crowd moves in unison. It really is a intoxicating experience and a life-changing one if you allow it to be. And I think we think of dance, we think of sort of celebratory experiences as a nice to have and it feels like a first world problem. But actually dance is sort of the oldest technology that exists on the planet to create lasting communities from the beginning of time. And I just read an article literally today about how the most longest living communities on the planet, the centenarians that live the longest and most productive lives, are those who actually choose to celebrate, who choose to live in community and celebrate each other. So to me, there's nothing more important in life to focus my attention on than to help people and more people learn and develop the skill, because it is a skill to practice of uncovering and experiencing joy.
So as you know, if you're listening, you're an entrepreneur or you want to be an entrepreneur, and this is, you know, you're thinking a lot of times, oh, I got to have the right sales funnel. Nothing wrong with the sales funnel. Those are good things, right? We got to have the right marketing. Okay, that's great. But how would you say joy was a factor in you building a $100 million business versus the sales funnel and the marketing?
So just to sort of level set, I built a $100 million business with my last business.
The last business.
This,
okay.
Yeah, this is a seven, eight figure business. But my last business, which I sold last year, called Thinks, which is an underwear company, which I'm sure many people listening know of it, if you're a woman especially. But after I sold the business, I really did a lot of soul searching of like, as an entrepreneur, as someone who has all these skills, what should I be spending the rest of my life and my time doing? And what is it that contributed to building a nine-figure business? And it was actually being such a sort of practitioner of joy. And sorry, what was your actual question?
So you're actually going there. You're actually answering it. It's how did joy play a factor as opposed to traditional things people think about? Got to have the right marketing.
Yes. That part. So I mean, I think how he grew Thinks and how he grew Daybreaker is very much the same. So I can just share the story through the lens of my current project, Daybreaker. And it's through whisper sharing. And when you are joyous, when you actually think about the experience of your quote unquote user or member or customer or client through the lens of their joyous experience or joyous release, and actually look at it through the lens of science. So our four happy neurochemicals in our brain, our dopamine, our oxytocin, our serotonin, and our endorphins, which I call dose, which is wild. But if you can actually reverse engineer the way a community member, a human experiences joy, it's through the release of these four happy neurochemicals. And each one of them plays such an important part in joy and also making decisions in your life, in customer behavior and buying behavior, all the things. And if we as actually entrepreneurs thought about our community members through the lens of their joy, through the lens of releasing their dose, we would have such a more exciting community, a bit more exciting business, and a community that doesn't require marketing. All of our marketing, quote unquote, was done again through whisper sharing by joyous community members feeling so good that they had to tell all their friends about it. They had to share it on social media. They had to tweet about it. They had to call 10 of their friends and send them their selfies from our wild morning dance parties. And we grew exponentially through word of mouth and had never spent literally any money on Facebook ads or marketing. And then when COVID happened, it was again a wild transition from having to shut down 28 cities overnight. We had just gone on tour with Oprah. We did 9 stadium tour, served 200,000 attendees at these sold out events, arenas, and then shut down the next day and had to sort of go online the following day. And it was this wild adventure of asking ourselves, do we want to continue spreading joy in the 2D environment, online, on a screen, when all we know as event producers is to be IRL, is to be in real life? And so it was a big decision, but then we realized that actually joy, particularly right now, is the most important commodity for us to be focusing on during COVID, post-COVID, as entrepreneurs, as business leaders, as humans, for our own self-care. And, you know, I was doing a podcast interview a few weeks ago, and someone was like, the interviewer was like, I've gotten really good at being okay, of moving through my trauma, but I just can't seem to get past okay. I can't seem to get to joy. I can't. And I said to him, because you have to practice joy. You have to remove your sort of thinking that joy is something that happens to you that is already a God-given gift. That joy is something that you practice like a skill, as the same way that you practice to be a great leader, a great business person, a great accountant, a great driver, whatever it is. Joy is a skill that you practice. And so when we went online, did the 2D experience, we realized that actually spreading joy in this time was more important than ever. And so that's sort of, kind of the key learning for me as an experienced designer, someone who thinks about dose through the lens of a 3D experience, to really think about kind of joy through the lens of both the 2D environment and the 3D environment became so important. And I began focusing on that.
So I'm curious, you've wrote an amazing book, Belong, and you know how to create thriving communities. What's the secret?
Yeah, so I share this sort of a deeper breakdown in my book, but I developed a method for community building called the crawl method, and basically sort of synthesizing, you know, a decade of community building around the world, community architecture, what I call around the world, into this sort of five-step process, which I call the crawl method, because, and I call it the crawl method because you can't run in building community. You have to crawl and really be intentional about it. So it's an acronym, and the C in the crawl method stands for defining your constraints. So what are the constraints of your community that allow your community members to decide, is this community the one that's for me? So with Daybreaker, our constraint is that we are in the morning. So we're a morning community. You wake up at sunrise and you dance before going to work on a weekday. Our constraint is that we are sober. So if you sort of feel compelled to dance with a drink in your hand, this might not be the place for you. Our constraint is the type of music that we play. So in sort of, we play disco house and deep house and funk house. So it really depends, as you think about your community, what are the constraints that set you apart, that create guardrails, that allow members to decide, do I want to join this community or not? Because it can't just be for anyone and everyone. You can't build a thriving community without constraints. So that's right. The C in the crawl method. The R is defining your rituals. So rituals, as we know, is why church has been so, you know, sort of scaled over millennia. Why, you know, sports teams, the chants, the jerseys, all of those rituals in athletics have been so critical. And yet so often community leaders or business leaders don't think about ritual through the lens of their product or business or service. So if everyone can think about rituals through the lens of how can people feel really connected to this ritual for my community. So Daybreaker, our rituals are, we don't greet you at the door with a bouncer. We greet you at the door with a hugging committee or a compliment bar. We have a intention reading at the end of our events where everyone reads a poem out loud together at the end of the dance party. We have a jumping group hug moment where everyone connects and really feels the energy of the sort of the alchemy of the community coming together. So we have these wonderful kind of ritual posts in every event that people really come back for every single time. And it's what creates a thriving community over time and creates a joyful customer base or user base for any community leader out there. The A in the crawl method is defining your aesthetics. And we all know in the world of business, the importance of brand, the importance of logo design, sort of all of your website sort of graphics, everything is so important, but also thinking through what is the 3D environment. So for us in the world of events, or if you're putting on a pop-up for your brand, thinking through what is the 3D experience look like? Where is the light coming from? Where is the DJ booth being placed? Where is the decor? How do you sort of invite an environment that is truly welcoming and inclusive? So aesthetics are so critical. And most community architects don't think about aesthetic. They're just sort of like, they build websites like they're from 1992 and they look horrible. And so we have to think about brand for community in the same way that Nike thinks about brand for their shoes. So that's the A in aesthetics. At Daybreaker, we thought about our logo, color, palette, our entire brand Bible. Everything was so thoughtful. And I'm a creative director by trade. And so aesthetics have been so critical for me in putting our face forward to the community. The W in the crawl method is the five W's. Why? And I'll share three. The first W is, why are you the person to lead this community in the first place? And I think really asking yourself this question, not from a place of vanity, because my idea, but are you the best community builder? Are you the best kind of flame for moths to come to? And I think you want to find somebody who is a wonderful energy sort of flame to really attract people. And if that's not you, that's totally okay. You should know your role. If you're number two, number one, where you sit. And so why are you the best leader? Second question is, why will this community last over time? And why is this community financially viable today? So those three questions are just a few questions to ask yourself, especially from a community perspective, because you can build a community for your t-shirt company, but is it going to last a test of time? Why will this community continue to be thriving over time? You have to really be thinking about that very, very carefully and very thoughtfully. And then finally, the L in the crawl method is defining your language, which is, you know, your first line of defense. And most businesses, most community leaders, most people in the world of business write in such professional language, their emails, their web copy, their email copy, their social copy. It's trying to be so professional that they remove the humanity. So really thinking about the language through which you tell your story is going to be so deeply impactful. And again, defining your constraints, defining your aesthetics, defining the way people perceive you. And at Daybreaker, our language is like millennial intellectual humor, kind of is the vibe. I mean, millennial, I'm not millennial myself, but millennial minded, right, intellectual humor. So we use emojis and GIFs, and we have playful kind of facts in every email that make people want to open our emails to learn something new, to have a laugh, and to just experience the energy of our emails. And so, so that's the 5-step process in a nutshell. And we go a lot deeper in my book, but,
Belong is the book. We're going to have a link to that on our show notes. Stay tuned. We're coming back with the 24-hour challenge. I'm going to give you a little secret. It relates to joy. That's right. So only if you want more joy in your life. Now, if you already had all the joy you want for the rest of your life, you probably can just leave now. But otherwise, come on back. And then, of course, we'll have the Conscious Millionaire Entrepreneur Questions with Radha Agrawal. And we'll be having the very special 24-hour challenge. Big shout out to all entrepreneurs. Now a quick question. Wouldn't you achieve your goals much faster if you stayed on track all day long? Well, of course you would. Everyone would. And to reprogram your mind so you can achieve your goals much faster, get your number one priority, Hypnotic Audio, now. It's my free gift to you today. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/priority audio. That's right. Go to consciousmillionaire.com/priority audio. Welcome back. I'm J.V. Crum III, host of the Conscious Millionaire Show. I'm here with our featured guest, Radha Agrawal. She is the co-founder of Daybreaker. We've been talking about that and how to build a thriving community. If you're just joining us on our syndicated radio show, trust me, you're going to want to hear all of this show. Just go to consciousmillionaireshow.com. Scroll down till you see today's show, How to Build a Thriving Community. Click on that and you can listen to it live there, or you can sign up on your iPhone or your Android and get us 6 days a week. And now, Radha, I'm curious, what is that 24-hour challenge you have for everybody listening today?
Yes. Yeah, so I have a joy challenge for everybody, which is to first take our happiness quiz. So we have a joy quiz that's free for anyone to take. If you go to the happinessquiz.co, you can take the quiz, but we developed a 40 question questionnaire to really uncover your happiness. So the challenge for today for you is to really step into your joy practice, to really step into the recognition that joy is a skill that you practice. And so to understand where you are on your happiness journey is the first step. So if you go to thehappinessquiz.co, take your joy quiz, we will be able to then share with you a joy RX and then invite you into a free 14-day joy challenge to begin biohacking your joy, to begin bringing your brain and body together, to begin really prioritizing joy as a skill to practice, because when you do, life totally unlocks, and it completely unlocked mine.
And as a reminder, that's happinessquiz.co, happinessquiz.co. And if you're driving, jogging, or pushing that baby carriage, just go to our headquarters, consciousmillionaireshow.com, and we'll have the links to this as well as all the answers to the questions in the Conscious Millionaire Entrepreneur section coming up next. But before we go there, I want to take a moment to thank you. I want to reach out, give you a hug, give you some love, and tell you I appreciate what you're doing in the world, the difference that you're making. We're here to help you make that difference at a bigger level, put money in the bank, and get a life that's going to bring you fulfillment and joy. And now it's time for the Conscious Millionaire Entrepreneur Questions. And as always, I like to start with mindset. You're the consummate businesswoman. You've done so much success and you're making a big difference in the world, which is my pitter patter. You know, that's my core pitter patter. What's the mindset you develop for discovering your best business opportunities?
For me, again, it's the mindset of joy. And again, which is why I continue coming back to this as a daily practice, because when you come at any situation, any challenge, I've had hostile takeovers, I've had all kinds of crazy misadventures in my entrepreneurial career. But if you come back again and again through the mindset of joy, the joy of going through that painful experience to come on the other side, the joy of just sort of the extremities of entrepreneurship, you know, on the good and the bad side. If that's your mindset, if you can cultivate that mindset, it is truly, again, a path that makes entrepreneurship so worth doing and so much fun.
Well, you know, I love that mindset and I love just sitting in joy myself. One of my favorite things to do, here I am up in the mountains for a few months, is just going and sitting by a river. And one of my favorite sounds is hearing water go over rocks. I just love, that's so peaceful, right? Just sit there and be with that. And that brings me joy. You know, what's a strategy for entrepreneurs to become more financially successful?
I think there's so many things, but step one that changed my life was actually, again, prioritizing community and really focusing on belongingness, not just as a, if I have time, but as a main priority in your life. It's wild that in my 20s and early 30s, I was so focused on my career, on romance, that I just prioritize community as third, or if I have time. And when I began prioritizing community, when I began prioritizing friendships and belonging, when I began prioritizing my joy as an act of belongingness, it really completely changed the way I think about business, the way my business sort of grew and scaled so quickly after that, because your friends are the first ones to buy your products and service, are the first ones to share it for you, the first ones to support you when you're going through it. And if you haven't cultivated one, if you're like, oh, I've got two friends to share any sort of deep feeling with, this is the time to really begin doing that audit. And again, I have all these kind of questions in my book, and we again have a joy practice at collectivejoy.com to really share and cultivate your joy practice and build community. So those two things, which is why, again, I'm dedicating my life to it post sale of my business, and I really don't have to work ever again, but I'm doing it because I just see so much value in the non-burnout, in the non sort of like feeling so good about yourself for working 100-hour work weeks, feeling so proud of yourself for not prioritizing self-care because you're sleeping at the office under the desk. And I just think that step one is build a community. Step two, lean on that community when you're struggling or when you're launching. And then step three, show up for your community, and life gets really epic.
Well, this is actually very related to what you're discussing. What is your sense of your life purpose, and how do you use it to make money? How did you bring the two together?
Yeah, so my life purpose is joy and belonging and helping people experience the, you know, I really believe, I rewrote Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. He wrote his in 1943, and a lot has been researched and discovered since. So at the top of my pyramid, instead of self-actualization, I have joy. And if we can actually experience joy together as a kind of North Star, to me, that's my ultimate why. And then to build a membership platform for people with over 200 top practitioners that we cultivated and curated from around the world, to teach people how to be the most joyful and joyous. I can't think of a more important line of work, because also the happier we are, the more we care about the planet, and the less we pollute, the less we abuse Mother Earth. And I just feel like they're so connected.
Yep.
So that's my ultimate why.
Well, I want to again tell you about Radha's book, Belong. We'll have a link to it. You can always go to Amazon, Belong. And it's going to, if you are connected to this discussion today, then you're going to want this book. Because you don't want just to put it in your library. You want to go peruse it. You want to devour it. You want to become a community member with this book. What's a book that you'd recommend?
I have so many books, but if you're an entrepreneur and a first-time entrepreneur listening to this, I would get my twin sister's book. She wrote a book called, she also built two nine-figure businesses as well. And her book is called Do Cool, Start, you know, Quit Your Day Job, Start Your Own Business and Live Happily Ever After. It's a beautiful book of how to get PR when you don't know how to get PR, how to build a community, you don't know how to build a community, how to get marketing, disruptive marketing ideas when you don't really know where to start. There's so many beautiful kind of one of one ideas that she shares in her book. And I would also recommend the Book of Joy with the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, who also share joy practices and the back of their book to really, again, practice the scale of joy. And again, you can come to collectivejoy.com with us to get your 14-day joy challenge.
Well, we're going
to
have all the links of the ways that you can get connected with Radha, as well as all the social media. Dalai Lama, I think that's very cool. You know, I lived at a Buddhist monastery. I've actually seen the Dalai Lama in Boulder, where you once lived. You know, the Dalai Lama came to Boulder. Of course, where else would the Dalai Lama go, right?
I mean, he just is on the right path. And when I read his book, The Book of Joy, and I saw that he had recommended joy practices and called them joy practices, before I read the book, started calling our practices joy practices, I just was like, oh my gosh, like I just feel like the universe has just pushed me on such an important path, and I'm honored to be a steward of it, you know.
I'm curious, and I say this over and over. I know if you're a loyal listener, you've heard me say this. I never ask in advance because I want to be surprised like you are. What's that next summit, Radha? And what might be a challenge or an obstacle you're going to now have to overcome to get to yet another mountaintop?
What's the next summit that I'm climbing right now? Yeah, it's for me, actually, the most important summit to climb right now is to make practicing joy as ubiquitous as practicing yoga, practicing mindfulness, as brushing your teeth. So I really, my North Star, my peak of the mountain will be to truly make practicing joy a daily practice that you do each and every day to live your best life.
Yeah. So it's like part of, I get up in the morning, I chant, yeah. I meditate, and then have a practice of joy because it fits within all of that kind of, you know, way of thinking anyway. Our final question, I've asked it over 2,000 times. What's the legacy you want to leave?
I want to live the legacy of, you know, that I really was a conduit for joy, that I was a conduit for relationship and belonging, that I was a supporter in the fundamental human need to belong, and that I really help people experience and feel that exhale of, I'm home. That's what I want.
Well, here at Conscious Millionaire, we want to let you know that you belong here as well. Because if you want to make an impact with your life, you want to be financially successful and get a life of fulfillment and joy, we want to help you take that journey every step of the way. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to connecting with you on our next Conscious Millionaire. And Radha, thank you so much for being our featured guest today.
Thank you, JB. Good to be here.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Millionaire Media Podcast Radio Network. The host, producer, and owner of the show, distributors, and broadcast media make no claims that the strategies and information discussed in the show will result in profits and may result in losses. The opinions and advice from the host guests do not necessarily represent those of the owner, staff, management, or broadcasters of the show. No legal, accounting, or financial or health advice is made in the show. You're advised to seek counsel on matters related to your business, financial investments, or other legal matters from licensed advisors. Always consult your physician or licensed health advisor prior to making any changes in your diet, exercise program, and implementing any health strategies or information discussed on the shows. Not all information provided may be suitable for your situation. As always, take full responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the responses that they create in your health.